First, let's discuss the issue of Bigu, or fasting. As you know, in the Qigong community, they have appeared various different states. And people cannot tell what they're all about. Are those states supernormal powers, or has one level been raised, or is it just inevitably this way, or whatever? They cannot explain it.
Bigu,
or fasting, is one of those states. So let's talk about it. This Bigu, this kind of phenomenon, does exist in human society, not only in our country, but in other countries as well. Not only among practitioners, but also among non-practitioners. Why does it also exist among non-practitioners? It's because of their inborn quality, or ginji, and the things they brought with them from before. As you know from newspaper reports, there are people who haven't eaten for several decades, for a number of years. And it's not just one or two individual cases. There are many such cases just in our country. They really don't eat, whether you believe it or not. Of course, some people just refuse to see the existence of Bigu, or when looking at it, they blatantly deny it. It is said that aerospace departments are also doing research in this direction. That is to say, this phenomenon does exist. It has been reported both in our country and abroad. In the cultivation community, Bigu is nothing strange. Regarding Bigu, or fasting, some people say that their cultivation practice must go through this stage. Some also say it's a manifestation of an increase in one's level. Then there are some who say that it's purifying the body, and some say it's a supernormal power or an ability. I'm telling everyone, it's none of the above. None of the above. What is it then? It's actually a method used by cultivators under very special circumstances. It's as simple as that. Then under what circumstances is this method used? You know, among the present-day cultivators, except for those people in the mountains and wilderness, the majority of the people who cultivate in ordinary human society or in monasteries or in other environments don't use it. Because it is directly related to one's living conditions. And it also has its historical reasons. You know, before religions were established, there were a lot of cultivators in ancient China who would build a hut and cultivate there alone. Or who would climb into a cave to cultivate. Some people would climb into a cave that was halfway up a cliff. On a cliff, after they climbed in, they would cut the rope. If they didn't accomplish the cultivation, they would never come out. There was nothing there. After they went in, they would be left without food and water. If they didn't succeed in cultivation, they would die of thirst. If they didn't succeed in cultivation, they would die of hunger. Think about it. Many people did that. There are many such examples. Then the source of food becomes a problem for a person cultivating under such conditions. So if he didn't resort to that method, he would die of starvation. So it's a cultivation method used in such an environment under such conditions. It's not at all some ability, and it's not at all a necessary step in the course of cultivation. It's not the case at all. Now some people take it to be a supernormal power or an ability. Some people even, because some Qigong masters cultivate their paraconsciousness, they themselves are not even clear about what supernormal powers they have, what form the supernormal powers take, how they produce, and what state they're in. These Qigong masters don't know any of this themselves. All they know is that they can treat illnesses, that they have a little bit of ability, but frankly speaking, even that little bit of ability isn't their own. Those who are possessed are also like this. They don't know anything either. Actually, of course, there are now some people who spread Bigu widely in society. As a result, a lot of people have ended up in hospitals, and their lives have been put at risk. There have been quite a few such cases. Who has stuck with Bigu to the end? Show me one that managed to continue fasting. More than 1,000 people attend a seminar, but who could stick to Bigu afterwards? They starve for a couple of days, find that it doesn't feel very good, and then start to eat again.
I'm telling everyone. It's just a cultivation method used under very special conditions, and this cultivation method is beyond the ordinary human level. Then if a Qigong master is spreading it publicly, he is in fact undermining the Fa, interfering in ordinary people's principles, so he is a demon. Think about it, everyone. This is the way ordinary people live. This is how human beings are allowed to live. If people were to all stop eating, would they be human beings? Suppose that thousands of people completed a large-scale Qigong Bingo seminar and stopped eating. Let's not say that everyone in the country were to stop eating. Let's just say that if everyone in this Guangzhou area were to stop eating, how convenient that would be. When you're rushing to work in the morning, you have to prepare food. Even to have an early morning tea, you need some time. And now, after you've slept enough, just grab your newspaper and go straight to work. And there'll be no need to grow crops. There will be plenty of land. You could develop it freely. You could build houses as you please, anywhere you like. No need to develop agriculture either. This would save a lot of trouble. This would take care of the greatest hassle. If you don't eat, then maybe you don't have to excrete either. Think about it. Could this be allowed to exist? It wouldn't do it all. And since they're doing such damage to the state of ordinary people, it would inevitably lead to serious consequences. A lot of people's lives have been put at risk. A lot of people have felt as though they were starving. Think about it. Only a cultivator can do this kind of thing. That person himself was curious. He wanted to gain something, so he went to the seminar saying, Bigu, Bigu, let me also Bigu, or fast. But you haven't given up ordinary human attachments. You haven't given up the seven emotions and six desires. You still have attachments to all kinds of food, to meat, eggs, chicken, fish, and other food. Could you ever manage to be cool or fast? Fine, go ahead and start to be cool. If he were to really place a piece of something in your body, it would let you be cool as soon as you see that. If you don't think of food, it's not so bad. Maybe you can last for a couple of days. But if you think of eating meat or start craving something else you'd like to eat, then you'd want to have a bite, but as soon as you eat, you would throw up. As soon as you eat, you would throw up. You cannot eat. As soon as you try to, you throw up, which makes you mentally tense and you get scared. I can't eat. Will something bad happen to me? How will I go on like this for a long time? The moment you get scared, it's over, because he has to hold you to a practitioner's high-level standard. So it's over instantly, but at the same time, you can't eat, so this puts your life in danger. He's not even cultivating. What do you teach him this for? Actually, those who teach these things, I've seen that they just put some black stuff in your stomach, so you aren't able to eat. That black stuff is in there all bloated, so you'll feel full. If you eat, the black stuff pushes it back out of you, so it doesn't let you eat. In addition, this is nothing like a righteous Fa, a righteous Da. Could black be good? Black is evil. It's yin. So this thing cannot be popularized, but this phenomenon does exist. That's all we'll say. Next, we'll discuss another issue, the issue of stealing qi. We'll mention it briefly because it's not something we have to talk about in our high-level cultivation. But I also want to disclose this little understood phenomenon. A lot of individuals scare people in the Qigong community with things like stealing qi, taking people's things. What is it all about? Over the past few days during my lectures, I discussed the principle that qi is nothing. It is just a method employed while purifying the body. Expel the bad qi and make the good qi go through the body. After that, eventually the qi in the body will gradually become clear and better than the qi in the body of the average person. But be that as it may, it's still qi, it's nothing. I don't know how some people practice qigong, but if I think of pouring it in my belly, it will be full in a short while, the belly will even bulge. You can focus on zan tian, hold qi and pour it into the top of the head, stand in the tenzin stance, and so on and so forth. There are all kinds of methods that will allow you to fill yourself with qi, so it's nothing. Being that it's nothing, are you still afraid of losing it? Think about it. The practice of qi is for purifying the body. Pure it in from the top and expel it from the bottom. A lot of systems are like that. Even if they don't do it obviously, their methods are still like that. The purpose is to purify the body. The purpose of practicing qi is simply to purify the body. In true practice of gong, one does not practice qi. Instead, it's high energy matter. He doesn't have the feeling of emitting qi. He has no qi. Then just being so, think about it. When you're practicing over there, if somebody is stealing your qi, isn't it a good thing? You're trying hard to expel that pathogenic qi, and you aren't able to, but he's stealing it out of you. Let him steal it. He's working hard trying to steal it over there, and here you're pouring it in. Isn't that great? Where can you get such a great deal? The person who's stealing qi doesn't know it. The majority of people who practice qigong in the parks have illnesses. They're practicing qigong because they're ill. Especially some years ago when people had just come to know about qigong. Wasn't that always the case? So go ahead, steal it. He's stealing it here and you're gathering it in there. I say it's a good thing. What are you losing? You're not losing anything. As for that real bit of qi in your dantian, he isn't able to steal that. One has to be on a high level to be able to touch that, but on a high level, he would know that he cannot freely take this thing. So he would take it anyway. Only someone who is nobody, someone who practices qi all day, who thinks he's pretty good and goes around doing things like this, he thinks he's capable, so he steals qi from others. But when you look at him, usually he's the most foolish. So foolish, it's beyond description. Why? Because he himself is also within the level qi. He cannot tell good qi from bad qi, so when he's stealing qi from others, he's stealing all of it together. Good qi, bad qi, and pathogenic qi, he's stealing it all out of people's bodies. You can't even expel it, but he's working hard to take it away from you. Steal it then. His body's all black from the stealing. He dares to steal qi from anyone. There are all kinds of pathogenic qi in his body. After people are done treating illnesses, they have to try to expel the qi, even though they cannot expel it. Because those who practice qigong are on the level of practicing qi, how could they expel it? You don't have these methods, you don't have that ability. But he doesn't even try to expel it. He doesn't expel what he steals, so it accumulates. He's all black inside, there are all kinds of pathogenic qi in there. What awaits him in the future are even more dangerous, serious illnesses. That is karma. It's all been put into his body. In addition to this, there's a principle in the universe. Whoever does not lose does not gain. When you gain, you lose. If you don't want to lose, you'll be forced to. Various immense substances in this universe have the effect of maintaining this balance. It wouldn't do if you didn't lose. It wouldn't do if you only wanted to take. All right, go ahead, take people's qi. On this side, you're stealing qi. The de or white matter of your own body forms a flow of exchange with the stolen pathogenic qi. The amount of qi that's coming in on this side is equal to the amount of de that's going out on that side. So I say this person is foolish beyond words. This is what I mean. He's giving others de and stealing their pathogenic qi. In actuality, he's helping others purify their bodies. Tell me, what is he doing? There isn't anyone more foolish than he is. But some people who don't understand the truth always talk about these things in the qigong community. They think they're capable, because when they practice cultivation without emphasizing xingxing, I'm telling everyone, practicing gong without emphasizing xingxing, without stressing de or virtue, is practicing an evil way. That's certain, right? So a lot of people do this. What do you say they're doing? Harming themselves. Qi is nothing to begin with. Some people think that if they get a lot of qi, they'll have acquired high gong, you know? Over the past few years, they used to talk about people who could gather a lot of qi. Some people are able to gather qi, but all that means is that they have a high input-output capacity. They can take in and expel great amounts of qi. What good is that? It's not gong. Some people gather a lot of qi. The pads of their fingers swell, their hands swell, even their body swells. But so what? In addition, some people cannot fit it all in their body, so it spills over to the outside. They carry quite a large field, all of which is qi. When others who don't know are near such a person, they say, wow, you've practiced gong really well, I can feel it, but it's nothing. It's not gong. Frankly speaking, no matter how much you gather, what effect can it have? All you are is a big bag of qi. It cannot have any effect. The purpose of practicing qi is to purify the body and finally reach the state where there is no qi. The purpose is to practice until you have no qi left, right? Then there are some people
偷人家
who talk about stealing this chi or that chi, no matter what you call this chi, call it a mixed primordial chi, this chi or that chi, there's so many different names. I'm telling everyone, they're all that little bit of chi within the level of practicing chi. They're nothing.
这个关于这个问题啊，我就讲那么多了。其实呢，练功的人呢，
actually, if a practitioner of Gong wanted to steal someone else's energy, he wouldn't be able to. And if he did, he wouldn't be able to add it on. Because there's a standard and a yardstick for how high one has cultivated. Even if you tried to add it on, it wouldn't stay. Because each particle of your Gong is in your own image, and other people's Gong is in their image. You could add it on, but could it ever stay? If it's placed there, it would be a war. Since you got it by stealing, it would fight with your Gong, and if you're not careful, it could even destroy a portion of your Gong. Therefore, true cultivators would never do such a thing. Moreover, all cultivators who have developed Gong have masters watching over them. He would take one look. What are you up to? Stealing other people's things? You'll have to give them so much dirt for this. You'll lose so much dirt. Gong or cultivation energy is the most precious thing. How can this be allowed? And the master of the other person wouldn't put up with it either. What are you doing stealing my disciples' things? That would be just too much. So at higher levels, these kinds of situations are very rarely seen. But on very, very low levels of intra-pool world fa, oftentimes this kind of situation can also take place. That is, you have something or you went somewhere and received something good from someone, like some magic instrument. Or some people may not even know where it came from. All they know is that they had some magic instrument or something precious or some other thing, and they got it stolen by someone. I think that's really nothing. If it was stolen, then it was stolen. Don't be attached to it. It may be because of a karmic relationship and you're repaying something to someone. None of the things of your own that you truly developed in the cultivation of Dafa will be lost. Those things aren't allowed to be lost. No one dares to touch them. Next, we'll discuss the issue of gathering qi. That's also something on the level of practicing qi, but it will be beneficial for our cultivators' understanding if I discuss it. Gathering qi. Many people pay attention to gathering qi. How does one gather it? I've said that the Taoist school practices standing in the Tianzi or spread eagle stance, and the Buddhist school practices holding qi and pouring din from the top of the head. In meditation, they rely on focusing on Dan Tian. When they focus on the lower abdomen, they can gather this elemental energy. Initially, they gather qi to purify the body. Later on, they gather trace elements of various substances and combine them with their own de, or white matter, to evolve the binti, or one's own body and body in other physical dimensions, and to increase their gong. However, let's just talk about gathering qi in qigong practice. There are a lot of people now teaching others how to gather the qi of plants. Their purpose is that since they've taken qi for gong, they want to gather the qi of plants. Of course, there are some people who know about gathering good qi into the body, but they don't know what they're doing. If you really want to recover from your illnesses, you have to assimilate to the characteristics of the universe. You have to become better. At the very least, you have to become a little bit better, and only then can your health improve a bit. If you do bad deeds, and you want your illness to go away, can it? It absolutely will not get better. So some people think that qi is gong, and they stand in front of a tree and gather qi from it every day. You just can't get enough. In some regions, you don't even know what qigong they're practicing. They roll around on the ground, then after they roll around, they stand up and go cling to the trees with their hands and feet to gather the qi of trees, to gather plant qi. One qigong master was telling people, there was a tree in front of my house and every day I gathered qi from it until it died. The implication being that he's capable, that he's able to gather qi. And there was this qigong master who... Also, in the northeast, I saw a grove of pine trees in a park. I didn't know what qigong those people were practicing. They were running around and screaming like mad. Then after they stopped, they surrounded the trees with their hands and feet outstretched, gathering qi. In just about half a year, this whole grove of pine trees had died. Pine trees are evergreens, but they became all withered and yellow, and they all died. Let me talk about the following thing here. When practicing, a lot of people possess the supernormal power of mind reading, or their thinking has been unlocked a little bit in a certain state, so they can communicate with some living beings. So some people say that a tree spoke to them or a plant spoke to them. It sounds very mystical. But on the other hand, if what Buddhism says about the six paths of reincarnation is true, then what's the difference between the life of a tree and the life of a human being? Then according to religion, if you're doing such a thing, aren't you committing a wrongdoing? Stealing things from others? That's not even stealing. For human beings it would be stealing, but this is outright robbery. If you were to make it die, wouldn't that be killing? Some people may say, aren't you saying something too mystical here? It's not mystical. You know, our present day scientists already have quite a good understanding of plants. It's not like the understanding they had before when they believed plants to be low-level life forms. Actually, nowadays, botanists have already discovered that plants like grass and trees have their own social activities. Moreover, they also have sensory functions, like those of human beings, and they also have thoughts. That's not something I am saying, it's what scientists are saying. For example, actually scientists throughout the world, botanists throughout the world are researching this. An American person, actually he's not a botanist. He works with electronics. He does research on lie detectors. He assists the secret police of various countries in the use of lie detectors. One day, prompted by a sudden impulse, he decided to take the two electric poles of a lie detector and attach their clips to a plant. That plant was called a dragon pot plant. It's a kind of flower. After he attached the electric clips, he poured some water on the roots of the plant and discovered that the lie detector pen rapidly drew a trace on the paper. At the time, he was really surprised. When you test a human being, a sudden outbreak of excitement in the human brain can produce this kind of trace. When he poured water on the plant's roots, it became happy. Because a plant needs water, when he poured water on it, it was happy. At the time, he was really surprised. He wanted to run down the street and yell, "Plants have emotions! They know joyfulness!" Inspired by this insight, he did many experiments. A wide range of experiments. And thoroughly verified this point. He has also done other experiments. Once he attached the lie detector clips to a plant, and they started thinking in his mind, what experiment should I do? Let me get some fire to burn its leaves and see what the reaction will be. As soon as he thought this, before he even got the fire or began to burn it, the lie detector pen had already drawn a trace. When a person experiences sudden fear, when he's afraid for his life, like when he's screaming, "Help!" he produces such a trace. When the scientist thought of burning it, it knew, and it screamed for help. And he hadn't said anything, and he hadn't done anything, but the plant already knew. Think about it, doesn't this even surpass human beings? It knows what the human brain is thinking. It has the power of telepathy. It's even beyond human beings. Of course, he didn't just do this experiment once. He did a lot of them. He also conducted a number of other experiments. For example, he put two plants next to each other and told one of his students to stomp on one of the plants and crush it in front of the other one. Then he moved the plant that wasn't crushed to another room. After he connected the lie detector to that plant, he told five of his students to enter the room one by one, and he watched the plant's reaction. When the first four students came in, there was no reaction whatsoever. As soon as the fifth student came in, the plant reacted. The lie detector pen drew a trace. Such a trace is produced by a human being when he's really scared, trembling with fear, like when he sees something terrifying. In the past, if someone had said that plants have eyes, that plants can talk, that plants can recognize people, it would have been viewed as superstition. Haven't the scientists discovered this now? When he came in from outside, it knew that he was the one who had crushed the other plant. It was afraid of being crushed, so it was trembling with fear. It was scared. We've always thought that man is an advanced life form with thinking and sensory organs. So where are the sensory organs of a plant? How can it recognize people? Of course, if scientists try to research it now, I say it'll take some time to figure out. But after all, they have already understood that those living beings are not as simple as we used to think. And there's more. We have also discovered that birds and animals have social relationships and simple languages. I'm talking about the following principle. Throughout the course of scientific development, mankind is constantly coming to understand itself, is constantly perfecting itself, and at the same time constantly coming to understand the physical environment we live in. The original understanding is not necessarily the absolute truth. But oftentimes, because of the education received in the past, these kinds of people become, how should I say it, narrow-minded. After they come to understand something, it becomes fixed for them. It's very hard for this kind of person to believe anything else. Just now we talked about gathering tea. If you look at it from this viewpoint, if you were to make a plant die, wouldn't that be killing? If you were to put pathogenic tea on it, wouldn't that be doing a bad deed? It's all the same. It's the same. And it's also a wrongdoing. And you say your illness can get better? This is the principle. Even from the standpoint of ordinary people, it's also a wrongdoing. You made a tree die. Aren't you damaging public property? Damaging the landscaping? To put it more seriously, wouldn't you be damaging the ecological balance? If more people started doing this, wouldn't the ecological balance be damaged? Just to explain this point, it's a wrongdoing any way you look at it. There's plenty of tea in the universe. Gather all you want. You too are an element of the universe. Just go gather it. Why do you have to gather other people's things? I have discussed this issue also to set right the name of Qigong. Of the Qigong community. Talking about these confused matters, I think will benefit the Qigong community. That's all I'll say about it. Next, let's talk about another issue, the issue of the heavenly circuit. Yesterday, we already began to learn the Falun heavenly circuit exercise, the fourth exercise. So today, we'll talk about the heavenly circuit. Heavenly circuit is actually a term of the Taoist school. We call it rotating the great Falun. The heavenly circuit is a well-known term, so we'll use it. We'll talk about the heavenly circuit. The circulation form of the heavenly circuit is different in every cultivation system. Even though the great heavenly circuit goes all over the body once, its circulation paths are different in every cultivation system. I've discovered that the way it goes in the Qimen cultivation systems is even stranger. But no matter how it goes overall, it has to go once around the whole body completely, from the hands to the feet, from the legs to both arms, including the head, before it counts as one circulation of the great heavenly circuit. Let's begin from the small heavenly circuit. Some people think that if they practice to the point of opening the small heavenly circuit, they're pretty good and their goal is very high. Actually, it's nothing. The small heavenly circuit belongs entirely to the level of healing and fitness. That is, it's just something on the level of practicing qi. If the small heavenly circuit is opened, it's because you've been practicing qi pretty well. Moreover, this small heavenly circuit, this kind of heavenly circuit, is a superficial heavenly circuit created by connecting the two channels, Rin and Du, or maybe it's not only the channels of Rin and Du. As you know, on the two sides of both the Rin and Du channel, there are two channels each. Even if you were to go by connecting the five channels in the front and the back, it would still be superficial. So as a whole, it is called a superficial heavenly circuit. In genuine cultivation, in the past when they sat in meditation, the Taoist school calls it 打坐 or sitting in meditation, the Buddhist school calls it 打禅 or dhyana or zen. Those who really rely on the dhyana, that is, on the meditation form of cultivation without any movements or hand techniques, also have a circulation form of the heavenly circuit. Their circulation form of the heavenly circuit is not called either the great or small heavenly circuit. It just circulates like this, and it doesn't go through the two channels of Rin and Dun. It circulates from the inside and drives open the outside, opening up the whole body. One channel driving 100 channels. That is to say, it goes from the Niwan Palace, that is, as I said, the pineal body, to the Dantian. The Dantian is in the lower abdomen. It circles around the Niwan, comes down and goes around the Dantian, making a full circle inside. This is the real heavenly circuit spoken of in the past as practiced in dhyana or trance. After practicing for a long time, this heavenly circuit is no longer a very narrow thread. It gradually widens, becomes wider and wider until it finally stabilizes at a certain width, forming an energy flow. It's very powerful, and it gradually will expand outward, gradually driving open all of the energy channels of the body, driving from inside out. So starting this discussion from the small heavenly circuit, the small heavenly circuit actually belongs entirely to the level of healing and fitness. Now let's go on and talk about the great heavenly circuit. The great heavenly circuit, as I was just saying, makes a full circle in the human body, or be it what they called in the past the odd meridians and the eight channels. This full circle counts as a circulation of great heavenly circuit. What we talk about is much bigger than that. I say Falun Gong is practiced on a very high level from the very beginning. Its practice completely bypasses Qi Gong, the lowest level of cultivation things. It is genuine cultivation practice. So all those things have been completely discarded. You're practicing cultivation at a high level. You know, in low-level cultivation practice, it's not just healing and fitness and cleansing the body. You also have to lay down some foundational things, form a set of things, form a set of mechanisms before you can practice cultivation at a high level. And this set of things we have already begun to plant in all of you. It's already completed. Although for some it's being planted now, your body's cleansed for you, and then these things will be planted in you. That is to say, you don't need to practice it yourself. I'm going to push you past this level. I'll push you past it. Otherwise, there wouldn't be enough time. If in these 10 days, in 10 classes, or an 8-day seminar, you were to practice Qi, I'd say that would be pretty bad. You'd have to practice Qi for a few more years before you could come to learn. That wouldn't do. So you don't have to practice any of this. We have the ability to do this. But that's also why our requirements for you, everyone, are so high. The requirements for you are high. You must take this issue seriously. You have to treat yourself as a practitioner before you can obtain it. Otherwise, if you come to this seminar with various motives, you won't get it. These are not things that belong in an ordinary person's body. Somebody even said to me, "Teacher, so-and-so in my family didn't come, but he wants to practice Falun Gong too. Can you give him a wheel and we'll pay the seminar fee?" Oh, so you want to buy a wheel for a few dollars? Such precious things of mine. It even sounds ridiculous, right? It's something that cannot be measured by a price. Of course, you haven't studied, so I don't blame you. You didn't know. We can give very precious things to a cultivator unconditionally. But if you are not a cultivator, even if you were to spend... Even if you were to spend billions and billions, you wouldn't be able to buy it, because it cannot be given to ordinary people. So, as I was saying, the great heavenly circuit, so when our great heavenly circuit is circulating, a lot of it is automatic circulation. We don't go through just a few channels. We require that 100 channels be unblocked and connected. All the channels in the body, the whole body, from the inside to the outside, circulating and functioning all at the same time. So from the very beginning, I say our practice is tremendous. From the very beginning, remember, in our first exercise, all the channels have to be fully opened. All the blocked areas have to be fully unblocked for you. Then in the following heavenly circuit exercise, all the channels in your body have to begin to operate as a whole. We practice on a high level from the very beginning. You go directly to the practice of gong. Actually, as soon as the great heavenly circuit starts, truly teaching the great heavenly circuit is already true cultivation practice. But in all these years, nobody has taught it. Even though some people did talk about it and they know the path of the heavenly circuit, they are not able to plan anything and you cannot open it through practice. You feel it circulating, but it's only skin deep. It has no effect. So it's not the practice of gong yet, it's not cultivation practice. But true cultivation practice, the first step is the great heavenly circuit. So speaking of the heavenly circuit,
讲到周天呢，我顺便再强调这个问题啊。
Let me digress and point out something else. Just now I said that in dhyana or trance, it expands from the inside to the outside with one channel driving 100 channels. Then in the Buddhist school, those who cultivate fully relying on dhyana also have operation of the channels. It's just not known to ordinary people. And Sakyamuni didn't talk about it because cultivation depends on oneself, but gong depends on one's master. Moreover, he taught nirvana, which does not take the body, so he didn't talk about this part at all. And his starts at the top of the head at the baihui acupoint, and after it's unblocked, it spirals down the body. That's how it travels. Then somebody discovered that the belt channel was not a belt channel, that it comes down in a spiral. That's not true. The belt channel is simply the belt channel. It's a practice method in the Taoist school. While in the Buddhist school, when you see it coming down spirally, that's Buddhism. The channels travel like that, in a spiral. Also in Tantrism and Lamaism, they cultivate the central channel. Others say that there is no central channel in the human body to begin with. Actually, there are no channels of the great or small heavenly circuits in the body. Nor does the small heavenly circuit exist. It's only because you connected the channels and they circulate in this manner that they come into existence. That is to say, even though they say the central channel does not exist, you know, there are more than 10,000 vertical, horizontal, and diagonal channels, as well as smaller branching off channels. After you've connected them all together, straightened and widened them, don't they form the central channel? That's just how it's formed. So what role does the central channel play? The central channel serves as an axis for the several wheels around it, but those wheels are not actual objects. They're also something like channels. So the central channel is used as a rotating axis and horizontally spins open all of the channels in the body as a whole, from the inside through to the outside. That's the way it travels. So I just briefly introduced the situation. Now let me come back to our great heavenly circuit again. From the very beginning, the great heavenly circuit is already practice of gong. Thus, as soon as the practice of gong begins, a lot of changes will occur one after another in that person's body, and different states will appear. For example, in true cultivation of the great heavenly circuit, when it has been opened up through practicing cultivation, a certain kind of state will occur. What state?
大家知道啊,
you know, in many books about cultivation of the Dao, there is an expression that is flying and rising up in broad daylight. In the past, practitioners of gong also knew that some people floated up in the air. These things do indeed exist. If a person wants to levitate, if you ask me, there could be nothing simpler. As soon as your great heavenly circuit is open, you will be able to rise up in the air. It's that simple. However, some people say, in Falun Gong practice, all the channels are opened and connected, and from the very beginning there are these kinds of powerful things, but I haven't seen anyone rise up in the air. Right, you won't see it under normal public circumstances. Moreover, these things cannot be casually taken out to be shown off. However, there's another issue involved here. If you're practicing cultivation in the mountains or in the wilderness, away from ordinary human society, you're free to have whatever supernormal powers you develop. There won't be any locks. But if you're practicing cultivation in ordinary human society, they have to be locked up for you. You cannot be supernormal. If you fly around outside all day long, would you be an ordinary person? People would see you as an immortal. Your attachments to fame and self-interest, your feelings of complacency will arise, and you yourself would even consider yourself an immortal. Would you still be able to cultivate then? You wouldn't. So a lot of, that is, it is not permitted to casually and unconditionally undermine ordinary human society. Even if you were a cultivator, it wouldn't normally be allowed. The people who are able to keep the supernormal power wouldn't do this casually either. Among our Falun Dafa disciples, there are many, many such examples. Many, many people have been able to levitate. I'll give you some examples. There are a lot of people. For example, there's a person telling me in Beijing, teacher, How come my body is so light when I'm walking in the street? It's as though my feet don't touch the ground. As though I'm being carried by a crane. Actually, a lot of people in this seminar have been in that state since yesterday. When walking, they feel that their whole body is light. Is it that way? The audience answers yes. That's guaranteed.
Floating,
a very comfortable feeling. Yesterday I said that after so many years, many people no longer know what it feels like to not have any illness. When there is truly no illness, the body feels very comfortable. That is to say, after the great heavenly circuit has opened, one can reach this state. A student in Shandong was telling me, "Teacher, how come my body is so light, like a balloon? When I put a blanket over myself, even the blanket rises up in the air with me." And there's more. When I was teaching a seminar in Guizhou, there was a student, an old woman, already in her 50s. She had two beds in her room, one here, one there. While sitting in meditation on one bed, she floated over to the other one. She thought, "How come I flew over here? Let me go back." As soon as she thought of going back, she floated back. So she asked me what was going on, and I said, "Aren't all these good things?" There are many such examples, a great number. Quite a few students have mentioned this to me. When I was in Shandong province, there was a student from Qingdao City who told me the following. She wrote it to me in her experience sharing essay. I was pretty amused when I read it. In that seminar, I also talked about how practicing the Great Heavenly Circuit can make one rise up in the air. She was working in a factory. During the lunch break, she was sitting in the reception office at work, practicing. There was no one else there in the reception office. She was sitting there alone, practicing. As soon as she sat down, that bed had a spring mattress and was very soft. So she was sitting on the bed, and there were also some blankets on the bed for the person on duty. As she was sitting there, she began to rise up in the air. As she rose up, she got scared. "Hey, how come I've risen up in the air?" When she got scared, bang, she came back down. Then she thought, the teacher said one can rise up, and he said to not be scared. And so she floated up again. As she floated up, she started thinking, "Where am I floating to?" With this fear, she came down again. She kept wavering in her mind. "No problem, if I float up, let it be." And thinking this way, she would float up again. Anyway, this whole lunch break, she kept going up and down like this. To a height of more than a meter, up and down continually. All the blankets on the bed were bounced onto the floor, boom, boom, as they fell on the floor. Then when the lunch break was over, the bell rang and it was time to go back. And then she said to herself, "Better not let people see me like this. Hurry up, come down before they see what I'm doing." And then she came down. After she came back down, she wrote to me about this in her experience sharing essay. She said, "Teacher, you see, I got scared." She said, "I don't even know where I floated to, because these things are controlled by one's mind intent. If you want to come down, then you come down." Speaking of this, let me incidentally mention that people with supernormal powers usually appear at the two ends. There are many old people, especially women, and also small children. It's easier and more frequently seen. In the middle, it's more rarely seen, especially among young people, particularly young men. They tend to have more attachments. I think, I still have to make this amount of money or reach some goal in society. So once they obtain supernormal powers, oftentimes they'll use them as a means to pursue their personal goals in ordinary human society. Once they have this desire, that's the end. The supernormal power will be locked up immediately. Actually, many people's supernormal powers get locked up as soon as they emerge, before the person even has a chance to try them out, because we know that you haven't gotten rid of that attachment. Moreover, when you've just begun the practice of Gong, these things inevitably emerge. But in the very beginning, when you haven't gotten rid of the show-off mentality in various attachments, you're likely to show it off, you want to do these things. So it's hard to keep them. Like the example I just gave, that was an old woman. If it were a young fellow, when the bell rang, he would have thought, "Perfect, come, look at how well I'm practicing." The difference is right there. Once this attachment arises, it won't do. You see how he falls short just a little bit.
This
At the same time, once the great heavenly circuit is opened up, besides that, of course, as I said, as soon as this state appears, for the majority of students, supernormal powers are all locked up. Of course, it is not locked up in the usual way, like with the other supernormal powers, which are locked up and put away someplace. For this supernormal power, you can only lock up your fingertip or the tip of your toe or switch places. They can't always lock up the same place, otherwise it will become blocked. So he'll switch places, lock up this part today, a different part tomorrow. Anyway, he'll keep locking you up, so it won't be easy for you to rise up in the air. Of course, even though you cannot rise up, you feel that your body becomes light and airy. You're not tired while climbing mountains. You're not tired climbing the stairs. In the past, climbing the stairs was hard for you, made you out of breath. Now, when you climb the stairs, others can't keep up with you, and you're not even out of breath, right? Also, when it's about to be opened up, when you practice up to that point, if the front of the body is opened up well, it'll be hard for you to sit. You'll lean backwards. If the back is opened up well, you'll feel that your front is very heavy and you'll tilt forward. This state will occur. If everything is opened up well, you'll tend to bounce up a bit, feel like you're being lifted upwards. There's this state. What was just discussed was the state that the great heavenly circuit could bring to our practitioners. In addition, if one great heavenly circuit is opened up, it can also bring on a kind of supernormal power. It can bring on a kind of supernormal power. What supernormal power? For example, during practice, when our great heavenly circuit circulates, as time goes by, this whole form of the heavenly circuit circulation will form a stream of energy, an energy flow. This energy flow, because its energy is constantly strengthened and substantiated, when it becomes more and more perfect, it will turn into a supernormal power, a band-shaped supernormal power, a band-shaped energy flow. That is to say, it forms a band-shaped supernormal power. The density of the supernormal power is very high, it becomes higher and higher, and its molecular composition is also very fine. Its density becomes greater and greater, it can expand without limit, and it can also shrink. If this kind of supernormal power were to be sent outside of the body, it would be the power of telekinesis, because it already has this kind of an effect inside the body. You know, among the practices of the Taoist school, the human body is viewed as a small universe. When the small universe is in the process of circulation, since it's a universe, the inside of your body, I say, is probably very similar to the external universe. You know, when we look at the sun now, and how the nine principal planets rotate around the sun, and how planets rotate around the stars, and in other universes, in other galaxies, it's the same situation. And moreover, the Milky Way galaxy is also rotating. Then think about it, everyone. When electrons are rotating around the atomic nucleus, isn't it similar to the Earth rotating around the sun? If viewed on an extreme microscale, if there were a microscope that large, a microscope with such huge magnification, take a look at what's on the electron, on that small sphere. And what is the state of the atomic nucleus? Right now, they don't have this kind of ability and they cannot observe it. I said that when Sakyamuni cultivated to a very high level, he said two sentences. He said, it's so large, there's no exterior. It's so small, there's no interior. So what does it mean? So large, I cannot see the edge of the universe. So small. For ordinary people, Tathagatas are already very high up. The Buddhas that ordinary people were allowed to know in the past were just Tathagatas. You were not supposed to know any higher. He could not see the edge of the universe, so small that going down to the smaller, he could not see what was the smallest, the original microscopic particle of the smallest substance. The eyes of that great enlightened being were already quite powerful. He was powerful to what extent? He talked about the theory of 3,000 great worlds. He said there were 3,000 great worlds in the Milky Way galaxy. He also said there were 3,000 great worlds in one grain of sand. In a grain of sand, there are, like in our galaxy, there are 3,000 planets on which there are living beings like those of the human race. There are 3,000 planets that have physical bodies. He called them 3,000 great worlds. Then he saw that inside a grain of sand, there were also 3,000 great worlds, which meant that inside a grain of sand, there are also 3,000 microscopic physical planets that also have life existing like we do in our galaxy. That's what it means. And he also said, of course, on the extreme microscale, he has seen to this extent, but maybe there's not only this extent, because if we investigate further down, let's take a look. Sakyamuni said that there were 3,000 great worlds in a grain of sand. Then according to these words of Sakyamuni, Within the 3,000 great worlds in that grain of sand, wouldn't there still be more rivers? Wouldn't there still be more sand? Then in that sand, would there be more 3,000 great worlds? And in the sand inside that sand, aren't there more 3,000 great worlds? Aren't there 3,000 more great worlds in the sand inside the sand inside the sand? If you kept delving down like that, you'll discover that there is no end. So Sakyamuni said, it's so large, there's no exterior, it's so small, there's no interior. He couldn't see the most microscopic original matter. You know, here we are not talking about religion or mysticism or just an isolated understanding of qigong. You know, in the present-day physics research, we are also gradually coming to understand our physical world. Our scientists today have discovered that there exist molecules. Then if molecules exist, what are the molecules composed of? It's been found that composing molecules, there are atoms that exist, and composing atoms, it is found that there also exist atomic nuclei, electrons, and neutrons. And probing further down, one discovers quarks. Further down, one discovers neutrinos. Further down, what do we find? The development of modern-day science has just progressed to this point. But this is so far from truly understanding the origin of matter, the substance that is the origin of matter. But we haven't said anything idealistic here, have we? Think about it. If we go according to the understanding of physics, I say there is no disagreement with what Sakyamuni understood about the 3,000 great worlds. It's just that at present, we don't yet have that great of an ability to understand it. So what did I mean by what I just said? It's that our human body is also a small universe. Then in your small universe, it's possible that there exist many living beings, and there could be many things beyond your imagination. So we have a lot of people who, when they were opening their temu or third eye, when opening their temu by themselves, they felt like they were running outwards along a large, wide road. Along the sides, there were mountains and rivers, even utility poles. There also seemed to be people driving cars and people on horseback. They passed through cities, running swiftly forward. They dashed through many cities. They thought it was very strange. It was just a fantasy, or what was it? But their mind did not generate any thoughts. Yet as soon as they closed their eyes, it became like this. It just happens to them. They're running outwards. Some qigong masters in the past have come across some pretty good cultivators. When we were together, we often talked about these things. Of course, conversations amongst truly high-level people are actually quite interesting. He said that in a single sweat pour, there is a city. On this piece of body hair, there's a city on this piece of body hair. And not only is there a city, but there are trains and cars running there too. It sounds very mystical. Actually, we've said that even though our understanding of the physical world, our physics has not yet developed to this microscale, and has not yet reached this extent, I'm telling you, if we haven't yet understood or come to know something, that doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't exist. Why do I say that? You know, many things that have been considered superstition in the past were brought to light eventually. That is, extrapolating it from the standpoint of physics. That extrapolation isn't wrong either. Then what's the state on the extreme microscale? I've said that in the step from the molecules to the atoms in a human being is a very vast space. And it's not only the human body that has molecules and atoms. In this air, in the invisible air, they also exist like that. That if you were to penetrate through it, if you could see the whole plane of its existence, actually your temple would have broken through this dimension and would have seen the form of existence of other dimensions. Of course, we don't have that large of an instrument, so we cannot examine these things at present. We've said that man's understanding of life and of himself is also like that. Look at a person. He's unlike what we understand now. Examine a person. You don't believe what you cannot see with your eyes. You don't believe what your theory has not reached. I don't think so. There are so many things that you cannot see. Radio waves, you cannot see them, you cannot touch them, you don't know what form they exist in. But once you turn on the radio, you've received them. How do you explain these things? If you can't see or touch something, you don't admit its existence. If you cannot experience it, you don't admit its existence. If we were to look at the human body under a microscope, if there were a microscope large enough to look at the human body, you would discover that people are not like this. The entire human body is made up of countless molecules like sand. hand, loose and in motion. Same goes with this table here. It also does not exist on such a smooth, solid surface. It's made up of countless molecules, atoms, and atomic nuclei. This whole table is moving, but this pair of eyes simply doesn't let you see it. They don't allow you to see this kind of form. But now we can see it through instruments and scientific techniques. That's how it is. Just now, I was talking about the Great Heavenly Circuit. So if the human body is like a small universe, then at a very shallow level, one will discover that this energy flow in the course of its movement can make the qi in your body change positions. The heart qi goes to the belly qi goes to the back. So in the course of its operation, it can have this kind of effect of changing positions. This is what's seen at a shallow level. If you want to view it at a deeper level, you would discover that the bodies of many of your physical structures are changing places inside. There are also many living beings that could be changing places too. That is to say, it can have this effect inside your body. If it's forced outside your body, it's emitted to the outside, it can make the things in our physical dimension change positions, which is called the power of telekinesis. That's what it is. Mind you, it's not produced from your thoughts. Some people don't understand it at all. They say, I just think about it in my brain and telekinesis takes place. How come this brain works so well? He believes that it works as soon as he thinks about it. Even though some Qigong masters have supernormal powers, they don't even know what they're like. This supernormal power doesn't exist in your brain. This power of telekinesis is formed by the energy flow circulating in the Great Heavenly Circuit. Speaking of the Great Heavenly Circuit, there is also another form of Heavenly Circuit. Another form of the Great Heavenly Circuit that is not generally known to ordinary people. Because the Great Heavenly Circuit is already cultivation practice, and what is at higher levels is not even known to many Qigong masters. Why not? Because some Qigong masters are fake. Some Qigong masters sit in meditation all day long. He did cultivate before, and he was taught by a master, but he wasn't taught. His paraspirit was taught. The paraspirit understands very clearly, but he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know any theories, or he may know a little bit, but not the details. So he cannot explain it clearly. This form of circulation of the heavenly circuit can go counterclockwise and clockwise. No matter whether it rotates forward or backward, both belong to the great heavenly circuit. This is also called the operation of the meridian heavenly circuit, or zhu zhou tian, and also called the operation of the heaven and earth movement form, qian kuan yu zhuan qin shi. Corresponding to the operation of the meridian heavenly circuit is another kind called the borderline heavenly circuit, or mao you zhou tian. People in the past never talked about them. All of these are classified secrets among secrets. Very few people know about this kind of heavenly circuit circulation path and heavenly circuit form. What is the borderline heavenly circuit? Very few people know. Actually, the borderline heavenly circuit is very simple. If people were to write about it in the scriptures, in the books about cultivation of the Tao, they would be able to write many sections. True teaching is in one sentence, while an imitation requires thousands of scrolls. To others, it's a top secret among secrets. You know, in our lecture, we told you many things that ordinary people have not been allowed to know in the past. Some say I'm divulging heavenly secrets. This is not divulging heavenly secrets. Here we are teaching with a purpose. In this historical period, this thing must be done like this. We are not... If a Qigong master says haphazard things without any sense of responsibility, he's divulging heavenly secrets and will be punished. Here we have talked about it with the purpose of making it known to cultivators to enable you to practice cultivation. What we tell you is Fa, the law, so there is no divulging of heavenly secrets here. This is being responsible to the people. So as I was just saying, others regard it as the secret of secrets. Here we'll make it known in a few sentences. You know, there's a distinguishing feature in my lectures. I'll tell you very profound principles in the plainest language. I'll do my best to have you understand. I'll tell you no ambiguities. So let's talk about the borderline heavenly circuit, or Mao You Zhou Tian. Others may beat around the bush for half a day. I'll say it in a few sentences. You can begin the borderline heavenly circuit from the Bai Hui or acupoint at the top of the head, or from the Hui Ying or acupoint at the perineum. It goes along the border between the yin and the yang sides. It doesn't go like the heaven and earth one. The borderline one is on the borderline. It corresponds to the meridian one. This is the rotation of the meridian one. Borderline one rotates horizontally. That is, it goes along the border between the yin and yang sides. It comes down from the top of the head, goes along the ear, goes down from the ear to the shoulder, and comes comes down, then it goes along the gap between each finger, comes down, goes along the outside of the body, comes out from under the foot, goes along the inside of the thigh, under the crotch, then goes down again, goes under the foot, then comes up again along the side of the body, passes along the gap between each finger, and completes a revolution at the top of the head. This is the borderline heavenly circuit, revealed in a few sentences. In its form of operation, it can revolve both clockwise and counterclockwise. However, even though we've explained it, we've told you about it to let you know that in the future you will have this state appear. However, you cannot go practice it. If you use any mind intent to practice, you are not practicing Falun Gong. If you do refinement practice artificially, what kind of fire refining the practitioner is that? We refine the practitioner automatically. If you're practicing it, aren't you still doing it yourself? We don't need you to do other movement or posture things. I've told you just so you'll know about it. You don't need to use any mind intent to guide it, and you must not do any hand movements either, because I planted those mechanisms in you. When the time comes, they will naturally drive it open. Of course, after you have it driven open, you will find that while you're sitting in meditation, your head will sway from side to side very slightly. If it's rushing this way, if your head is swaying this way, then the energy is flowing this way. If it's swaying that way, then it's flowing that way. The head will sway. You know, when the real heavenly circuit has been unblocked, you may also nod your head while sitting there. It's being forced by the energy, and some people will also lean backwards. That's when it's rushing while rotating in reverse. But do not swing your head. Do not follow its rushing movement. You should still follow the key points of your exercise. Stay motionless and relaxed. Let it flow around by itself. Just now we talked about the heavenly circuit. So what is the purpose of the heavenly circuit? Very few people think about it in depth. And nobody has taught it. What do you do with the heavenly circuit? No matter how well you practice the heavenly circuit and how well opened your channels are, what is its purpose? I'm telling you, the heavenly circuit itself is not the purpose. The purpose of the heavenly circuit is to drive open all the energy channels of the body. In other systems, it's done like that. But in ours, all the channels of the heavenly circuit are circulating from the very beginning. So I say we practice on a very high level from the very beginning. Isn't that so?
那么这个
So if one has opened up the
channels,
has he reached the ultimate purpose of practice? Reached a very high level? I say it's still far from it. It's nothing. In other systems, he would have already reached a pretty high place in the cultivation of integral world thought, but in ours, it's just the beginning. It's already like that from the very start. Having the channels completely open is not the purpose either. As unblocking continues, the channels in the body will gradually go from not being bright to shining brightly. The energy will gradually transform, and finally, the channels will widen. Some people see that a Qigong practitioner's channels are really wide and tell him, wow, you've been practicing really well. I say that's nothing. Far from it. So how wide did these channels have to get? In fact, the purpose of practicing the channels, of unblocking the channels, the circulation of the heavenly circuit is for unblocking the channels, but unblocking the channels is not the purpose, and widening is not the purpose either. Ultimately, as the channels keep getting wider, all the channels are widening at the same time, widening and widening. More than 100 channels, more than 10,000 channels keep widening. Ultimately, all the channels merge into one, and you reach the state of no channels and no acupoints. Only then will you have reached the ultimate purpose of opening the channels. When one's practice has reached this stage, a person's body has channels everywhere and acupoints everywhere. Or conversely, there are no channels or acupoints remaining anywhere. The whole body is opened all the way through. This is the ultimate stage one has to reach. After reaching this stage, one is... Of course, such a person cannot fall ill. Supposing he did fall ill, if he wanted to do acupuncture, he wouldn't even have acupuncture. Points. If you wanted to press his acupoints with martial arts qigong, it wouldn't work since there are no acupoints and nothing to press. It's not even like what we see in Chinese kung fu movies, how someone practiced the golden bell shield or iron shirt and became unbreakable until his defense was broken open because he left the gate for qi. Here there isn't even a cheek gate left. The whole body is opened all the way through. This is the true ultimate stage that has to be reached in the integral world法 cultivation. In the cultivation done in the human body. A person who has truly reached this stage has reached the last stage of integral world法 cultivation. That is to say, this person has already reached the summit of integral world法. Then as he continues to practice cultivation, he will go beyond in triple world法 and will soon enter the cultivation of beyond triple world法. But there's a transitional level between the two of them. It is indeed the last level of in triple world法 cultivation, but at the same time, it doesn't belong to the in triple world法 cultivation because it is this kind of a transitional stage. The whole body has entered the state called pure white body. The pure white body is not the milk white body. Milk white body is when a person began from practicing qi and is getting close to practicing gong. He has already reached a high degree of purification, a pure flesh body, like that of a newborn infant. Whereas the pure white body is when the human body has already been completely transformed by high energy matter. The cells of the whole body have been replaced by gong. So this person will have already reached this stage, the highest level cultivation of integral world法. He will have entered the state of the pure white body. Seen with a tianmu, such a person's body is transparent. You know, when one has cultivated to the highest level of integral world法, it can be seen that the gong developed in the human body is very complex. The bodies in every dimension will have developed very complex gong and all kinds of supernormal powers. It looks quite frightening. This state is already quite frightening. Their eyes, all over the body, their eyes everywhere within the scope of the dimensional field. Even the smallest particles in the body are all gong, are all images of the Buddha body. Anyway, it's quite rich. All the various kinds of states look a bit frightening. But an ordinary person cannot see them. To him, you look just like an ordinary person. If one suddenly enters the state of the pure white body that I just mentioned, actually, one will have entered the state of a colorless body, the state of a pure white body. Suddenly, the body will have become transparent. All of the supernormal powers he developed through cultivation before are pressed into a very deep dimension. They cannot be used again. They become useless, and they're all discarded, completely discarded. Speaking of this, let me repeat something. Many people seek supernormal powers. What supernormal powers do you seek? At the final cultivation stage of integral world法, all the supernormal powers developed in the human body have to be thrown away. There's no use for them whatsoever. After that, as he goes on cultivating forward, he steps out of the state of pure white body and enters the level of arhat or rohan fa, also called cultivation of Buddha body, which is also called cultivation of beyond triple world fa. Because at that point, when the whole body has already been completely replaced by the high energy matter, one will have already gained a fruit status or guo wei. One will have already transcended the three realms. One will already have an arhat body. An arhat. In the past, in Hinayana or lesser vehicle Buddhism, having gained the status of arhat meant having gained the fruit status. But for a cultivator, that's not necessarily the end. Some reach the completion or yuanman of cultivation at the status of arhat, while some cultivate to the realm of bodhisattva, some cultivate to the realm of Buddha, and some cultivate even higher. Therefore, having cultivated to this stage, you won't necessarily unlock your gong and become enlightened. Those who are able to cultivate higher and keep cultivating their way up while still locked, partially locked. They remain partially locked and keep cultivating their way up. Their tianmu can see and possibly their other supernormal powers along with it, but you cannot be completely unlocked. You still have to cultivate your way up that way. At that point, the newly developed supernormal powers, that is, the supernormal powers developed from the pure body, body imperishable as a diamond, those supernormal powers are called Buddha's Fa, divine powers. They are the things that will be used in the future. They can control things of all dimensions. Just now I talked about heavenly circuits. Let's stop at this point. Speaking of this, let me tell you about another issue. Why is it that when we've cultivated to the highest form of integral world法, our body enters that state, transparent body state called the pure white body? It can also be called crystal white body. It's transparent. In cultivation practice, the body has a division in color. Those of us whose tianmu level is relatively high and relatively stable can observe it. When you begin to practice cultivation, as soon as you begin to develop gong or cultivation energy, the first gong that appears is red. Also called crimson, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, purple, colored, colorless. Nine colors altogether. After that, when you've reached the last color, you've gone beyond the cultivation of intriple world thought. That is, people's levels can be delineated by color. What are the colors like when you've cultivated beyond triple world thought? You will start from red, orange, yellow, green, indigo, blue, purple, and cultivate your way up, but that red and that yellow are entirely different from what you had when you were cultivating within the intriple world thought. Those were like ordinary people's dyes or pigments, whereas when you cultivate at a high level, colors are transparent colors. They're extremely beautiful. It's also red, but it's transparent. The higher the level is, the more transparent the color becomes. The more exquisite, the more fine. The colors become more beautiful. So one's level can be seen from many aspects. There's still some time, and we still have an issue to discuss. We'll discuss a very, very crucial issue, namely whoever practices gains gong. Over these past several days, I've kept emphasizing that you must practice cultivation knowingly and consciously. Cultivate your own self, you must be aware. If your consciousness is not clear, we will not save you. Thus, in the past, we didn't allow mentally ill people to attend. We don't want them muddle-headed. They cannot practice cultivation, and we don't treat illnesses here. I came out to teach the gong with the goal of bringing people up to high levels. So for those whose goals are different from mine, you can go find someone else. Because some people may think, well, what's wrong with healing illnesses out of compassion? Some people also think, if I feel compassion and heal other people's illnesses, what's wrong with that? Anyway, I've told you the principle clearly. What's wrong and what's right? You have to use the principles of high levels to make requirements for yourself. Ordinary people's principles won't do, right? To be responsible to you for your practice of gong, we cannot let you ruin your body, and we cannot let you casually pollute your body with those illnesses. We cannot allow you to treat illnesses. That's the principle here. Then some people say, isn't it still saving people? I'm telling you, that's not saving people. You cannot save him in the least. The Buddhist school teaches that to save a man is to elevate him from this human environment of suffering to high levels, to break free of this human sea of suffering. This is salvation of people in its true sense. Where does it say that healing their illnesses is saving people? That's just a saying of the worldly small ways, to help the world and help people, isn't it? So we require that your main consciousness be clear. You yourself must understand. If someone is muddle-headed, there's nothing we can do for them. Some people are being controlled by someone. They're messed up and talk nonsense. That sort, you are all. In your future cultivation practice, you must pay attention to this. It is unacceptable if your own consciousness is not clear. The issue of whoever practices gains gong is extremely crucial. In talking about this issue, I'll state up front that in history, this will be, if I make this issue known, all the schools and systems in history, that is to say, it involves very deep historical origins. The extent covered, the scope involved is really too enormous. It really is so. Because since ancient times to the present day, a lot of cultivation ways, 95%, 98%, 99% as I see it, if I make it absolute, some people won't want to listen. I'm telling you, the vast, vast majority of cultivation ways cultivate a person's paraconsciousness, or fuishi. They don't care about your main consciousness, or zhuishi. Look at you sitting in meditation over there. I'm telling you, you don't even know what you're cultivating. Who is cultivating? Who is gaining the goal? Somebody's gaining, but you don't know about it. Somebody knows, somebody understands. I told you that in addition to the main spirit, a person also has a para-spirit. Since the para-spirit is not lost in the delusions of ordinary people, of course he is also lost. He is lost in his dimension. He cannot see the scenes in the higher dimensions in the universe. He can only see very low-level things within his present dimension, so he is also able to practice cultivation. At the same time, he is in your body and suffers as you do, so they save him and don't save you. Although he is one integrated being with you and is called the same name as you, strictly speaking, he's not you. But you are the one who knowingly and consciously does things in this world. Tell me, so you've been cultivating, but the gong isn't given to you. Wouldn't this lifetime have been so unfair? But that's a secret among secrets, something shrouded in absolute secrecy. In the past, nobody dared to say it. Even if they knew it, they dare not tell. Today we have revealed it. Think about it. Wasn't that the case in the past? The Taoist school says, the cultivation books of the Taoist school say, a lot of Taoist teachings tell you the following, the knowing spirit shall die and the primal spirit shall live. What does it mean? Your knowing spirit is the one who is yourself. What you do knowingly and consciously, relying on your thinking, isn't that you yourself? They call him the knowing spirit. Actually, we call him the main spirit. What they call the primal spirit is actually the man's paraspirit. So they say the knowing spirit shall die and the primal spirit shall live. If the knowing spirit died, you would have truly died. And the one who would dominate your body would be the paraspirit. But at the same time, he cannot die. If he died, wouldn't that be killing? They only say it like this. The knowing spirit shall die, meaning as much as possible, allow the knowing spirit to have no effect. Have it be as though it were dead so that it has no effect. I said yesterday that a lot of Taoists drink until they're drunk and unconscious and then they sleep. Some people are even impressed by how immortals can sleep for a few decades straight and they think it's a great ability. But somebody didn't sleep. Somebody practiced while he was over there sleeping. As soon as some people sit down in meditation, and monks are the same too. In the past, it was a secret of secrets. Nobody talked about it. Aren't the monks also completely required to concentrate? To concentrate until they're not aware of anything. But somebody is aware. Bodhidharma sat motionless facing a wall for 9 years, and there are monks who sit facing a wall and don't come out of concentration for several decades. They're not aware of anything, as though they're sleeping. But someone is aware. If you have this, if you as a practitioner can see with your Tianmu, if you have the supernormal power of remote vision, if you yourself have the supernormal power of remote vision, you may see the following scene. The moment you sit there in meditation, you will see that out of your body there flies out someone who looks like you. Maybe it's not like you, maybe it's like you, maybe it's male, maybe it's female. And it goes, you follow it with your vision, and in a little while you see the master take it away, and then in some place, the master will be teaching it how to practice, but this person is confused. It was a secret in the past, a secret of secrets, forbidden to be told. So this person is sitting here, and he can't tell which one is him. He's thinking, oh, the master took me, my spirit, and is teaching me how to practice. Actually, that's true, but it is not him. It's someone else. And he has nothing. After 100 years, each will go his own way, because the one who suffers and practices cultivation is the other person. Now why don't they save this person, but they save the other one instead? Especially in modern times, this matter has become even clearer. Namely, man is the hardest to save, that is, the most impossible to save. They cannot save him, but they still want to save people. They also have an obligation to save people, and they are able to save people too. So they save the paraspirit. Anyway, they're all you. I'll save whichever one is easier to save. Your knowing spirit, that is to say, your own self, is so hard to save. You are told to give up your attachments. Can you give them up? Yesterday I spoke about Jin, or forbearance. Then there were some people who came to me and wanted to have the Fa modified a bit. Just to illustrate this point, are you able to not fight for fame and self-interest among ordinary people when it comes to your practical personal interests? Are you able to stand back and not contend? If someone makes you lose face when you're walking the street or when you're in front of your relatives and good friends, where you're most afraid to lose face, can you keep your heart unmoved? It is very hard to do. But these things, as they say, these matters among ordinary people pass in a blink of an eye. For everyone coming here, it's like staying at a hotel. You stay in this hotel, then when dawn arrives, everyone leaves. Don't get attached to anything, but he doesn't think, nor does he believe. It's said that at the end of a lifetime, all matters of ordinary people are empty. No matter how many thousands of dollars you make, can you take it with you? You arrive empty-handed and leave empty-handed. You don't have anything. Just like the joke I tell, if you arrive in their home in the next lifetime, even if it were your son, would you recognize him in your next lifetime? If you were to come sweep the floor for him, he wouldn't necessarily pay you more. Just to illustrate this meaning, what's the use of ordinary people's attachments to these things? This is being said to cultivators, not to ordinary people. Sentiments or qing have to exist among ordinary people. Ordinary people must have qing or sentiments. Somebody wrote a note saying, disagreeing with my viewpoint, saying, if qing were given up, would it still be a human society? Right, if qing were to be given up, it wouldn't be a human society. Nobody told you that you have to give it up, that you can't be a human being. Be one if you want to. Here we are talking to cultivators, true cultivators. If you can do it, that's cultivation. If you cannot, could it be cultivation? Are you just an ordinary person then? So, in the past, Lu Dongbing said these words, I'd rather save an animal than a human being. That is to say, human beings are just too hard to save, too unenlightened. We're saying this here, and some people may step out of this door and still do as they please. That's just how it is. So throughout the ages, they were providing salvation like this. Only if the main spirit is very special would they save him. Otherwise, generally, they were all saving the para-spirit. You see, after a lifetime is over, one departs and one stays. Anyway, it's guaranteed to be this way. So why have we revealed this matter today? Because our system allows your main spirit to obtain the goal. It cultivates man's main consciousness. Our thing cultivates man's main consciousness, so it wouldn't do to leave this unspoken. But making it known involves a great historical scale, deep historical origins, and it has broad implications. So today we've made it known. In this, although we've made it known, I say, what is good about this system lies therein, that it can let you yourself truly gain the goal. But I'm telling you, you're applauding, but don't get too happy too soon. What is difficult about it also lies therein. Why do I say that this is where it's difficult? Because you have to knowingly and consciously watch yourself get hurt in ordinary human society while keeping your heart unmoved. To not behave as they do and to keep raising yourself, this is the hardest. But only by being the most difficult does it allow you to gain what's best. And here's where it's the most convenient, the system. Why do we say it is the most convenient system? We have made known such a great principle. It's not to make you really lose anything in a material sense, it's to allow you to, you can do your job, or you can cultivate professionally. If your cultivation way is amateur cultivation, that's fine too. You can be the same as ordinary people, and keep this most convenient condition. It couldn't be more convenient. But in this complicated environment, superficially, you are the same as other people, but in your heart, you are constantly ascending and rising. It's very difficult. In the past, they said, in the monasteries, they passed around the following words. Sakyamuni and Bodhidharma and great monks who came from India all said such words. They said, the eastern land, the region of China, is a region that produces people of great virtue. Hold your applause, that's not what they meant. Why isn't that the meaning? A lot of monks think that way. We Chinese are great. Chinese people can cultivate very high up. I'm telling you, that's not what they meant. As I said, it is very hard for people on a low level to know the real meaning of the words or the state of mind of enlightened beings or high-level people at their level. Think about it. They say people of great virtues can emerge from cultivation in that region. Great masters can develop from cultivation over them. What does it mean? Only in the most complex environment, among the most complicated people, can the best people be cultivated out. Isn't it so? If everybody's nice and the conflicts are not severe, they cannot cultivate. Why do they say it's hard to cultivate in heaven? As is said within religions, there are no conflicts. You're happy to see me, I'm happy to see you. Everybody's at great ease, there's no suffering to bear. Where do you go to cultivate over there? Where can you go to ascend? Isn't that the principle? That's the meaning of what was said. So we require that when you practice the system, you have to knowingly and consciously raise your xingxing. Most importantly, put a lot of effort into raising xingxing, and secondarily, practice gong. Practice is to transform your body and develop magic things. In other words, it's used to increase gong. If you only cultivate your heart, if you only cultivate xingxing but don't practice gong, you're just a good person among good people. You're accumulating de, or the white substance. If you only practice gong, it won't grow, so you must emphasize the fa in cultivation practice. Speaking of this, I can tell you something. As you know, it's already been 2 or 3 months that I haven't been out in public. For almost 4 months, I was taking care of some things and didn't come out to teach seminars. And during that time, I intentionally kept an eye on the state of activities in various regions to see whether our students could stand the test if I weren't around. In the future, I won't be around and no one will see me. How would people do? So I intentionally watched what went on. The performance was varied. However, as a whole, it was still quite good. In the Changchun area, the following situation appeared among students. In the beginning, the assistants found that they could not answer a lot of questions, but at the same time, the students wanted to ask them, so they were just waiting to see me to ask me. And then the students at the assistant center discovered, what if we just carefully read the book? Isn't everything written in there? So some students got everyone together and they began to study. Then the Changchun assistant center also organized people to begin studying the fa. And once they began to read repeatedly, gradually, they resolved all the questions on their minds. They had nothing left to ask. This experience led them to the following conclusion. We've been trying so hard, but it turns out the fa that our teacher taught is all in the book. All the things we want to know have been taught. They listened to the recordings and studied the fa, that is our revised edition of the book, and found that studying the fa brings about great improvement. Eventually, they thought studying the fa alone still isn't good enough. They said, it's such a great thing, why don't we memorize it? So they began memorizing the book. At the beginning, it came to be that every day after finishing practice, they would stay and read the book. At the end of practice, if you have to leave early to go to work, you can go, and then everyone else would sit down and begin to read. You read a passage, the next person reads a passage, and then everyone discusses. They improved very rapidly. To what extent did it eventually reach? Another practice site said, that's what your practice site is doing. We're going to start memorizing the book. Their practice site started memorizing the book. This memorization of the book motivated the entire Changchun area. They started to memorize the book. Now when they read the book, they don't have to bring it with them anymore. After finishing practice, they sit down together and begin to study the book, to study the fa. One student will recite a passage, another student will recite the next passage, and so on like that. And if anyone makes a mistake, everyone knows because they've all memorized it. Some people can even recite it in reverse. Thus, there rose this high tide of studying the fa. Whatever questions they wanted to ask have all disappeared. All have been answered, unless you don't want to study. The good news is that our book, Zhuan Fa Lun, is about to come out. That is, the complete contents of my lectures, a combination of the substance of several seminars, has been published. It can be said to be the most complete. Everything is in there. In reading that book, whatever you can't answer, whatever you can't enlighten to, look for it in the book. It's guaranteed that you will be able to find it all, to answer it all. That's all I'll say. Everyone take a break for 5 minutes, then we'll go over the exercise we learned yesterday.